Start this evening's meeting. So I'd like to call to order the Tuesday, February 28th meeting of the Carrboro Board of Aldermen. Here he comes. Damn, we just had a coup. We just had a coup.
Spoiled it.
You did. Here's your gavel back. There we go. We're ready to say, are there any visitors or speakers who would like to speak on items that are not on this evening's agenda? May I?
All right.
Yes, please.
Hearing none, seeing none. Report on locating a Triangle Transit stop.
Oh, wait a minute. There is one.
Oh, well, I saw none, but my bad.
Oh, I'm
Come
sorry.
Come up and address this real quick.
I'm sorry. I stole this.
It's okay. Oh, I see you have a sign.
It was a group coup. I didn't just unilaterally take power.
It wasn't. I apologize.
No, she's put up to it.
So, in case you didn't know, my name is Charlie Heilman, and I'm here representing tonight the Carrboro Bicycle Coalition. And there's a number of people, if you raise your hands, that are here in support.
Raise your hands.
Okay. So, we wanted to come up here and remind you that we and there's Todd, too. He can raise his hand as well. That we are working with a lot of the issues that you're going to see coming forth this year. And we have a grant proposal that's actually out that I was talking to Jackie about earlier. And it's going to the Health Services. Is that
Human Services.
Human Services. Sorry. Human Services. It may go through that process. I don't know exactly all the details to that. But basically, it's to work with the police when there's a cyclist who's out at night without a light. They have a chance to stop them and give them either a coupon or actually install a light right there. So a coupon to actually get a light and get it installed correctly, or if they have the opportunity to install the light, then that will work out. So we're asking to get a little bit of support from the town, and at the same time, we're working with some other grant proposals to try to do it. We've already applied in one place, and we're going to be applying in other places as well for the exact same program. And so we hope that at least you will consider that. Some of the things that we're doing now is we're putting out newsletters. We put out one in the spring and summer on a regular basis. We have a website that gathers resources and events and lets people know. We have a large mailing list, I think with over 200 people right now. We're conducting surveys. We conducted a survey to figure out how people are biking in this region, and we posted those results to different groups. We also had volunteers working on the bike to work breakfast, working also with the Safe Routes to School and the bike rodeo, and we had booths at Carrboro Day and Shikori Hills, and working with other groups in the triangle to try to coordinate as a whole. We also were in the holiday parade, in case you didn't see us, in the cruiser rides and Tour de Fat Day in Durham. We volunteered with that, and we also were able to interview some of the candidates on your board, as well as the Chapel Hill Council, to looking at bicycle issues and seeing what people think. So this grant proposal that we're having coming up is one element, but we're also when you're reviewing small items in the future, we ask, and we'll try to request in the future as well, to look at them and see how you might be able to make them more bike-friendly. This could have a big impact in terms of the town as a whole, making it just a pleasurable place to live, but it's also a big part of reducing our carbon footprint and really making it a less of a auto-centric community. So we'll be working with you as a whole, coming to you in the future, and we just wanted to let you know that we're out here, we're in numbers, and if you have any questions, you can certainly ask me.
Charlie, when you say making Carrboro more bike-friendly, mm-hmm. could you give us some concrete examples, like if
yeah.
a development comes before us, what would you like us to do?
Well, one that's specifically that we'll be asking for, and one that we asked for in the future to change would be the laws that we have found that are not, that are more strict than the state laws when it came to comes to bicyclists and cyclists. So that is something that we've already spoken to you about, and that's a really important one. Another that I think is quite important, and we haven't put forth, but we want to wait until the town manager is put in place, is lowering the speed limit in some of the areas that we consider to be quite dangerous. In particular, as the candidates that did this survey pointed out, that small section of Estes that's not going to be, that's just simply can't be changed, right? We can't change it easily. DOT can't make it work immediately. So in the short term, 35 miles an hour in a space that has essentially no margin of error at all, is also just so tiny, that is just too high, and it doesn't make a lot of sense. And people are rushing at 35, and then they're slamming on their brakes when they get to the stoplight. So that's one thing right away I thought that people could have an impact on. And there's other areas in town as well that we could consider, including putting a Sharrow on the small section over near on Main Street. You know, there's a Sharrow on Weaver Street in that small section, and that small section of Main Street could also have a Sharrow. And that's that's not a big thing, but it could make a difference in terms of just coordinating with cyclists. Okay.
Charlie, I had a question, and I'm really glad to see all the bike folks wearing helmets, because I'm very big on the helmets. With the grant, is it possible that coupons can also be given for helmets?
We haven't
limited.
We haven't put that in the proposal. The thing that we were concentrating most on was that there's a switch in light, you know, and that suddenly you have cyclists riding in the dark and you can't see them. And I think a lot of people just get surprised by the change in light. And it's at that moment that we thought it would be really good to have the police, and we've already talked to the police chief about this, and that I think is perhaps the most critical part. So helmets we could talk about that at some point. That could be another program, but we certainly would need to discuss it, and that's not in part of the grant proposal at this time.
I just always have an issue with the fact that we make very certain that the children wear helmets, and then we have adults riding without helmets that sets the worst example.
Yeah.
But I appreciate everybody here with helmets. And thank you.
Okay. Charlie? Mm-hmm. I really appreciate the work of the Carborough Bicycle Coalition. I enjoyed that interview in the fall. It was really fun to do. I get your newsletters and emails, and I like the events y'all are at. I think I remember seeing in the email, have you got nonprofit status or tax exempt status?
Have.
You're working on that, or
we've
done it?
We've had it pretty much right away because of the recyclery. So we were using the recyclery as a parent organization.
Mm-hmm.
Under their umbrella, we've had tax exempt status. But right now, we just have an application in to be an independently tax exempt.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Great.
It hasn't. It should go through, we hope.
Okay.
Great.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks,
Thank
Charlie.
You. Thank
it's
you.
Our,
Mark, did you want to share about our Tree City Award? It seems appropriate.
Yeah, and also, I don't know if y'all mentioned right before I arrived, but the acting town manager, Matt Eford, has come down with the flu today, and so he won't be joining us, but our former acting town manager and town attorney, Mike Bro, is filling in tonight for him. And
surprise.
Also, we understand, let's see, can somebody help me out with dates, because I don't quite remember, but our next town manager is
the
going
15th.
To be arriving March 15th, so in basically about 2 weeks, our new town manager will be here. In addition, what was it? What were you reminding me of?
The Arbor Day Foundation awarded the town of Carrboro for the 27th year as a tree city.
Because our trees are the right height.
Trees USA, right height or wrong height. We have a bunch of them, and we budget money to promote the growth of trees and protection of trees and have tree protection ordinance in our town and have been recognized for the 27th year out of the last 28, I think, as a Tree City USA by the National Arbor Day Foundation, which I think is a much deserved honor. Anyway, thanks for pointing that out, Randy. All right, report on locating a Triangle Transit stop at West Weaver Street.
Thank you. So this presentation is on the best approach and logistics for locating a Triangle Transit stop on West Weaver Street. It will cover information on the lot itself, ridership potential, and scheduling and route considerations. So, of course, coordinating regional transit service and seamless transit connections, shorter routes, and more frequent service is a policy in the Vision 2020 document. Transit is a hot topic these days regionally, a lot of things going on, but the genesis of this report was a resolution that the board adopted on November 15th, 2011. One thing to note is that Triangle Transit did previously provide service to Carrboro, service to Carrboro Plaza in the late 90s. So the resolution specifically focused on the municipal parking lot at West Weaver Street, which is located between Oak and Lindsay Streets. You can see it right here. It has a capacity of 33 spaces, but is often under capacity. The UNC Department of City and Regional Planning parking study from 2008 found that it had a peak usage of 11 spaces. Therefore, it does seem to have some additional capacity for one of the things that we were asked to look at, which was could it be used to some extent as a park and ride location. There's also a bike rack with 8 or 10 spaces, and like most municipal lots in Carrboro, this lot has a 2-hour parking limitation between the hours of 7 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. And it is a privately owned lot, but is leased to the town. So here is a photo of the front of the lot from taken earlier this month, and there were 5 cars parked here, which seems pretty low. But over the last few weeks, anecdotally, when walking by there, I've seen a little bit higher occupancies. There are 2 wheelchair accessible spaces connected to the sidewalk by kind of a ramp. And about 5 of the spaces total, including the 2 wheelchair-accessible spaces, are paved. The rest is gravel. Here's the bike rack and the trash can, and a view from the rear of the lot, and 2 trees that were preserved at the front of the lot. And here's a photo of the entrance looking eastbound. So I'm not sure exactly why the slide is a little bit off-center, but the title is Current Triangle Transit Service to Chapel Hill. Triangle Transit operates a service area from Zebulon all the way west to Chapel Hill, and they have 3 different routes, basic routes that serve Chapel Hill. The 400 and 405, which go to Duke Hospital, Duke, and downtown Durham. The 800 and 805, which serve South Point area and RTP, and then the CRX, which is an express bus serving downtown Raleigh, also stopping at Eubanks Park and Ride and NC State. And that's just in, of course, PM, AM and PM peak hours. So in our staff-level discussions with Triangle Transit staff, kind of the one route that's emerged as a potential extension into Carrboro has been the 405 route, which is a limited stop route between downtown Chapel Hill and downtown Durham, serving Duke hospitals and so forth. And that's not to say, that's not to prevent discussion of any other of those routes being considered, but this is kind of what will be used in this presentation as a default model. So this right here is a hypothetical route extension concept, simply travels west on Franklin Street into Carrboro through Main Street, and then makes a loop around to Weaver Street, where it would stop at the West Weaver Street lot. Also might have some intermediate stops on East Weaver Street, East Main Street, or in front of the Art Center. So here's the current 405 schedule, and if we zoom in, we can see that in the morning, going from Chapel Hill to Durham, it has about half an hour headways. Buses come every half an hour, stopping at East Franklin Street at the Carolina Coffee Shop, heading into Durham via Irwin Road, stopping at Duke Hospital, big ridership generator right there, and then, of course, Durham Station downtown. So one of the things that we wanted to take a look at was ridership potential if Triangle Transit service were extended to the West Weaver Street area. Carrboro has 16.3% of its employees commute via transit. This is compared to 10% in Chapel Hill, 1.7% in the Triangle, and 1% in North Carolina. So very strong transit ridership that has only grown since 2000. The transit mode split in the West Weaver Street area was about 8 to 10%. That's using somewhat dated census data, but we don't have any more recent data at that level. And then if you recall, there was an economic report that the board commissioned in 2006 that looked at commuting patterns, and it found that about 27% of all employees who live in Carrboro commute to Durham. And it's not clear from the report if RTP is included in Durham in that statistic. There's also, I think, a ridership potential, you could argue, for students. Recently, Duke announced a policy of issuing a GoPass that allows for free and unlimited rides on Triangle Transit, as well as data in Durham and CAT buses in Raleigh. And the eligibility is, I had another slide that zoomed in on this right here, but it's hard to read, but the eligibility is available to pretty much all faculty and staff of Duke, as well as pretty much all students. So this is a potential huge boon to transit ridership for either people who work or people who go to school at Duke. So what we wanted to do was narrow in on the specific ridership potential around the West Weaver Street stop. So what you see here is network distances of a quarter and a half mile from the stop. And we wanted to use network distances because people don't fly, so they have to take the streets and sidewalks in the area. A quarter mile is generally associated with a five-minute walk, half mile with a 10-minute walk. And you can see that within a quarter of a mile, there are 78 residential addresses, and there are 712 within a half mile. So that half-mile radius really starts to get into some of those apartment complexes. We also take a look at 2010 census data, and we found that there's about 183 people who are 18 and older living in the quarter-mile radius and over 1,000 living in the half-mile radius. So I think there's a decent amount of walk access to this stop. And we also took a look at bike access, assuming a 2-mile network distance And you can see that 2 miles from the West Weaver Street stop incorporates just about all of Carrboro south of Homestead Road. Obviously a lot of Chapel Hill, too. When we summed up the amount of people within a 2 mile radius, we excluded Chapel Hill because we assumed that those people would just use Chapel Hill stops. So just in Carrboro and outside of Carrboro to the west, we found that there's almost 8,000 addresses and over 12,000 people, or roughly two-thirds of Carrboro's population, that live within 2 miles biking distance or walking distance of this stop. So just a few more things, focusing in on the lot itself. Bike parking is an important amenity for most park and ride lots and a lot of regular transit stops. There currently is bike parking at the 2 Carrboro park and ride lots that are served by Chapel Hill Transit, Carrboro Plaza and the Jones Ferry park and ride. Some cities, 2 examples being Portland, which always tends to show up on these best practices things for bikes, and then Charlotte, require long-term bike parking at park and rides. And long-term, depending on the city, means that either all or most of it must be covered. Charlotte actually has an art in transit program that they're implementing heavily on their Lynx light rail line, and as well as some of their bus stops, which allows local artists, basically pays local artists to come in and decorate the stops. And one artist, I talked to one of their staff members, one artist is decorating bike lockers. So that's kind of a cool synergy right there. Another way to get to the stop would be feeder buses. The CW, the J, and the F are in the vicinity. The CW currently serves West Weaver Street. Of course, today you can take the CW all the way into downtown Chapel Hill and pick up a Triangle Transit bus. But in Carrboro, the headways are about a half an hour in the morning and evening, so you can take that bus to the stop and transfer and get to work. And then when you get home, you can take the bus back. Of course, the timing of the transfer is an important consideration as to whether feeder buses work or not. And then, of course, there's a park and ride potential, which I already noted there seems to be some excess capacity in this lot. I think over the last few weeks I've seen a little bit more cars in it, but never seen it full, that's for sure. And the statistics that we have show that it's about one-third capacity. If there were to be spaces in this lot that were to be designated for park and ride spaces, that would require a town code amendment, because the existing town code provision states that there's a two-hour limit. The town must, according to the lease agreement, the town must receive consent from the property owners for changes that might need to be made, minor changes such as signage and things like that. So with that, I will open it up to questions and discussion. And also, one more note, I do have the figures on the amount of commercial addresses or non-residential addresses within a half mile and a quarter mile. If there's a question about how many businesses in Carrboro might be served by this extension.
Well, since you've gone to the trouble of getting that, how many businesses might be served?
Well, thanks for asking.
Yes.
Let's see here. Now I have to go through the trouble of finding it on my sheet.
I'm sorry.
I think it might actually be. Excuse me one second. So there's 137 non-residential addresses in a quarter of a mile.
Wow.
Which might also include some,
home businesses.
Nonprofit or. Something like that, yeah. But I think most of those would be considered probably be businesses, and then 382 within a half a mile.
Wow!
Because you really get into with that even with the quarter mile distance, you're getting into Carmel Mall,
mm-hmm.
and you also get some of the offices along West Weaver Street there too. So there is a number of while probably you could assume that mostly this service would be for Carver residents commuting to wherever the extension would take them. There's definitely, I think, a potential for some commuting in the or mm-hmm. commuting or, you know, possibly student travel in the other direction, right. And visiting those businesses.
Thanks, Jeff. I have a couple of comments to make. One is, what I like about this proposal is that it does try to identify a place that can be a park and ride for Triangle Transit in downtown Carrboro. And the reason I say that is there's really not one anywhere, even down Franklin Street or anywhere else, where if you want to kind of drive in or try to catch it and then get on it and ride over to Durham, there's nowhere where you can kind of go and park your car for the day if you want to do that. So not only do we not have a lot in Carrboro, it doesn't even come into Carrboro right now, but there's not anywhere in Chapel Hill right now, and I know we've looked at Triangle Transit and even in discussions with our transit partners. I know Triangle Transit has looked at opportunities for some kind of park and ride lots along 15501 between Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Durham, and to no avail thus far. So that's one thing I like about this. But the other comment I have, I think, is that where I live, which is in Fox Meadow in northern Carrboro, I think a lot of people who work in Durham and choose to live in our area choose to live in the northern area of Carrboro or even the northern area of Chapel Hill, and they kind of skirt that way, you know, when you drive over that way, you know. And I've the last several times that this subject has come up with Triangle Transit folks, David King and others, I keep trying to mention it out. Yeah, I keep mentioning to him, you know, can't we have a route that goes from the Eubanks Road parking lot to downtown Durham? Because it just seems to me to make sense that that's a spot where a lot of people who already live up there would go and park. And this is Carver people and Chapel Hill people, but to ride the bus to downtown Durham, the one to Raleigh, which I've ridden a few times for various reasons, is packed every day. And there is one, I think, maybe that goes out to South Point or something, but it's I keep trying to ask them to try to, you know, work it in that way. And I don't know if that's something we could throw in this resolution as a suggested point for folks, especially for the convenience of our citizens that live in the northern part of Carrboro, because a lot of people in my neighborhood work in Durham. I mean, you know. And then lastly, I guess, this is nice for us to speculate about this idea. What are the next steps in terms of, because we don't have a rep on the Triangle Transit Board. You know, there's not a spot assigned for anyone from Carrboro on there, and I don't know that anyone from Carrboro's served on it in the years that I know. How do we make this known in a way that we can advocate for it and try to really convince Triangle Transit to move forward with it? I mean, I know it might depend on the financial picture the next year, but do you have thoughts about that?
Yeah, I think it's a matter of communicating with Triangle Transit staff and then communicating with the Board of Trustees, the interest in a stop, and, you know, also I think making sure Chapel Hill Transit is kept in the loop as well. We've already done some communication with Triangle Transit staff, and they're more than helpful in providing information for looking into this topic.
Okay. All right.
All right. Sammy, were you up?
Well, Lydia answered my basic question. Was just curious what the next step was to try to, you know, see if we could get some service here in Carrboro.
I think
you already asked that.
I think
you know.
Too.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, this is just kind of to frame things. So, with Carrboro Plaza not having Triangle Transit service, is there any hope on the horizon for that to be requested?
I don't know any specifics with regard to that, but I think it's always something that could be communicated to Triangle Transit to see what their take is on that. I actually tried to
find... Was ridership low that they... backed off or?
Yeah, I was digging around for documentation from that period as to what happened, and I couldn't find much specifics on when that service exactly ended. There was some discussion, a board item from, I think, 1999 about potentially expanding that service that Triangle Transit was looking at, because there were only two buses leaving Carrboro Plaza and going to Raleigh, and one was at like 5:58 in the morning, and the other was like at 6:30. So I think there was some discussion for a little bit later, departures, but I wasn't able to find the reasoning as to what happened to that service.
Well, that's something I'd like for us to keep in mind and look at, especially as you know, in the intervening years, the population has grown, and there's a lot of folks who, I mean, Carrboro is the hub for the southwest portion of the county, you know, everybody west of us, so I certainly would like to see that brought back.
And also, since 1999, you know, I mean, in 1999, you were unlucky if you had to pay $1.80 a gallon, and now you're lucky if you only have to pay $3.60 a gallon to buy gas.
That's
so
right.
I think, you know, the circumstances changed a lot. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I think it's important to realize is Alderman Lavelle and I have been meeting with Orange County and Chapel Hill and Hillsborough representatives about the way in which funds from a potential half-cent sales tax for public transportation would be used. And one of the key issues that we've pushed for in to be included in the plan is for the expansion of express bus service from downtown Carrboro to downtown Chapel Hill to downtown Durham through Triangle Transit. And I guess the final version of the plan has not yet been adopted by the Orange County Commissioners, but basically at this point it appears that express bus service between downtown Carrboro and downtown downtown Durham is going to be a key component of the immediate bus improvements that would happen with that sales tax. So just to kind of put that in context, all of which would of course fit in very nicely with the current proposal.
So regarding the resolution that we have, what do we need to do? What has to be in place for us to open up that time limitation so that the that municipal lot will not be from 7 to 5 or whatever? I don't remember what the hours were, but to me.
Go ahead.
It's generally a town code amendment. There's town codes stipulates different things for different lots. Obviously, the Century Center lot doesn't have a time limitation, but it does have a limitation as to as to employees or residents using Century Center programs. Mm-hmm. So it's a matter of a simple amendment to the town code. Unless Mike, I'm missing anything.
So I guess it's a question of basically referring this to the staff,
okay,
requesting a you know, change the policies to accommodate this.
Right.
Let me, if I might, just jump in on that. I mean, I guess the only question I have about that is comparing the sort of possible benefits of this location versus, say, Wilson Park on William Street, where we have a significant parking lot. I know it gets a decent amount of usage in the afternoon, kind of after school time, but it seems like before that there's a lot of empty parking spaces, I guess, basically. And I just wondered whether staff has looked at or thought about that as a possible location or destination in comparison with this.
I have not looked into that. I would be glad to look into it then.
Well, I don't say that to poo-poo this idea at all, but just to raise the question, you know, obviously it's not nearly as convenient for downtown Carrboro businesses, but it's even closer to a lot more residences, or at least I would guess. So I'm fine. And it's even more dramatically underutilized for sort of two-thirds at least of the business day. So I would like to kind of refer this back to the staff and say, let's move forward, whether it be at the one location or the other, or even both potentially, I guess, depending on what 2TA could do for us. But anyway, I just would like y'all to at least take a brief look at the question of whether that Wilson Park lot would be more constructive. And I think while I have the floor, just one other thing I'll point out is that, in addition to the need for sort of park and ride opportunities for people who would like to take the bus to Durham, RTP, Raleigh kind of locations, it's been pointed out to me before by some folks who carpool, particularly to the RTP area, that there's really no place for them to park their cars and have their carpool meet up. Mm-hmm. And so in some cases, what happens right now is that four people park on the street on Oak Street or someplace, and one of the three of them drives them all to RTP. And I realize that's not as efficient as bus service, but it still seems like a kind of a laudable objective. So I would just like to take a look. I don't want to hold up what you're currently planning or working on, but I would also at some point like to take a look at the question of whether either this lot downtown or the lot at Wilson Park could potentially be designated as places where people would be allowed to meet up for carpool, vanpool type arrangements. Sammy and then Jackie.
And I think another opportunity, and I don't really know what the usage is during the day, but Anderson Park may be another option. And it's nice, too, because it goes by Harbor Plaza, and it is on that end of town where I'm sure there are people who would be driving in and could use it. But also, I think I brought this up previously, the idea of having 54, and because it's a state-managed road, maybe it's not possible, but the shoulders there are huge, and in theory, you could have people park along the road just to minimize our creating more parking lots. This mm-hmm. would be a creative way to get around that. And, depending on how popular that was, it might be a short walk or a long walk, but if it were a long walk, then just to have the bus pick people up wherever along that route they could. Just an idea to explore or think about. I don't know how feasible it is. I'm sure there are objections on safety grounds that maybe having people on the shoulder might be dangerous. And that's all I've got for now. Were we looking at covered bike parking? I know we keep talking about it in the Transportation Advisory Board. Was there funding for something like that? Do you recall, Jeff?
There was funding, a small amount of funding for bike parking, not specifically covered bike parking, and that was through the physical activity grant that the town received, and that bike parking has been purchased, so it's sitting there in Public Works, still looking for homes,
okay, cool.
But that didn't specifically include covered bike parking.
Thanks.
Go ahead, Jackie. I'll go after you.
Jackie and then Randy.
Yeah. I like Mark's idea of Wilson Park because as I was sitting here listening to the talk about Weaver Street, I take the CW or the J half the mornings of the week, and every morning there are people parking over near Armadillo, leaving their cars there and taking the bus up to the university, and I know they're there for more than 2 hours. Because sometimes I see those cars when I come home. And I'm a little worried that if we opened this lot to, longer-term parking, that it would quickly fill up with people who are parking their cars there rather than at the park-and-ride lot. Because I talked to them about this. I'm worried that it would fill up and that our businesses would lose access to that parking. So I think Wilson Park would kind of prevent that? I mean, I don't know how we stop people from doing what they're doing. I know Carmel tows them, which makes it even more likely that they'll
park in our lot.
And I try to talk to them about it. And anyway, so I think Wilson might make it like more of a remote area that people wouldn't be, and it wouldn't be taking parking away from businesses
more
to
of
have
a,
it there.
Yeah, more appealing to the kind of regional commuters that
right.
we're trying to serve here rather than the kind of local commuters.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good point. Randy?
I just wanted to ask, I was very interested in the bike lockers, and how expensive are they?
That's a good question. I don't have the figure offhand, but I could probably easily find that.
Mm-hmm. And the covered bike racks, is there some way that we could, you know, find grant monies that will help to cover bike racks in our various bike rack locations?
You can certainly, we're always on the lookout for grant funding, and we can certainly keep that in mind.
Because it really, I mean, I know, I just think that it really gets folks more interested in having their bikes out for longer periods of time if they know they can be covered.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I understand, we have bike racks that are ready to be put out in other areas of town. Is that the case?
Yeah, we have 7 inverted U racks, so the simple, they are, we still need to get the anchor bolts for them. That wasn't part of the purchase, just to simplify the purchase. But once the anchor bolts are procured, then they can be ready to go. But we as staff haven't really had it too specific of a discussion yet as to what places they would go. And we have heard input from board members too as to various potential places as well. But yeah, that's
Town
they're
Hall.
Still they're still looking for homes.
All right.
Thanks.
Michelle.
Yeah, I just had a question. My office is right across the street from this park and ride, and rarely do people who come to our office park over there unless there's a meeting in the business in our building. I'm wondering, has there been some assessment with business owners around about how much? I know it's only used a third of the time, or it's a third of the way full, but I'm just wondering how much, because I'm responding to Jackie's concern about people parking there all day, who are not using the park and ride, and how do you designate that? I'm just wondering if staff has talked to any of the local business owners on Weaver Street about how much patrons of their business might use that parking lot already.
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't think at that specific level, but the parking study that the graduate students conducted in 2008 did have a general business survey, and I believe that survey was broken up by specific areas of downtown, and we could look into that and see what they saw. But in terms of a specific question about West Weaver Street businesses and the extent to which they believe that those lots are that lot is used by their customers, I don't think I have any specific data on. But it's a good question.
I think and we don't need to belabor all of this, maybe quite so much, but. I can picture perhaps a way of configuring that lot so that certain spaces are sort of designated for short-term parking for visitors and patrons on Weaver Street, and others are reserved for commuters. So I just wanted to throw that thought into the mix. Although, even so, it does seem that if you do that there's the risk that we're going to wind up having that lot fill up with commuters who are going to UNC rather than commuters who are going to Durham and Raleigh,
mm-hmm.
which is more to the point that I think we're trying to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so.
If I could add just one thing, the benefit of this location, as we saw, is that it's not only dependent on those park and riders, but also, you know, there'd hopefully be a number of people who would not even need to drive to get there. I can walk and bike and maybe take a feeder bus. But
although, you know, and I mean, not to get argumentative with you about it, but let me point out, you know, for example, people who live at Estes Park Apartments, for example, are much closer to Wilson Park as a practical matter than they are to downtown. So it's, and Estes Park isn't necessarily the only example, but I guess the point being that, you know, you do, the population density of Carrboro is high, and no matter where you put it, you're serving a large number of dwellings. But it is possible, perhaps, and I'll be interested to see what your research shows, that Estes Park actually, or I mean, excuse me, that the Wilson Park location actually serves a larger number of dwellings than that downtown location. Because I think, although I'm interested in the issue of people who might be commuting the other direction on this route, that is, say, who might be coming from Durham to work in downtown Carrboro, and definitely concerned about that. I have my gut tells me that is a much smaller piece of the puzzle compared with the number of people who are trying to commute the other direction. And it's notable that seems like I can't remember the numbers now, but something like 20% or something of the addresses you cited within a quarter mile of this location on West Weaver Street are business addresses, which is sort of hypothetically promising in that people might commute this direction to work at those businesses. But, you know, we know that the reality is that the net flow of commuters is in the other direction. So,
yeah, it's hard to ignore. It's worth pointing out that Estes Park Apartments does have almost 300 residential units in it. So there, I think there is significant residential units around Wilson Park.
I don't know whether it's technically a quarter of a mile or less, but, you know, it's definitely walking distance from that Wilson Park site. So.
Yeah, then what the Wilson Park multi-use path is about a half a mile. So if using that as a
distance. I guess it must be more like half a mile to walk from Estes Park. But still, the reality is it's further to go to that Weaver Street location than it is to Wilson Park. And especially after we build the multi-use path, the quality of access, and especially if we succeed in getting a pedestrian demand light on Estes at the Estes Park driveway intersection, the quality of access to Wilson Park will be much, much higher. Anyway.
Well, and you know, I'm kind of imagining, too, Triangle Transit might, if they like this idea of Wilson Park, it might be that that's where people park, but the bus might not even, you know, might just go up Greensboro, turn right on Estes or something. It might be that people don't go operate right out of the park.
Mm-hmm. Right, so right. That the service might be on Greensboro rather than William Street. Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, and I think it would open it up to a large number of people.
Okay. Well, there's some kind of local government principle that could be articulated that no matter how short the agenda is, the discussion will expand to fill the time available. And this may be starting to be an example of that. So, Randy, then we're going to move on.
No, I just want to look at attachment A because I've been trying to jot down some of the additional points. And so
you're making a motion?
Well, I want to make a motion, but I only have two that I could really tease out clearly. And one was to look at the request to staff to look at the town code to permit the long-term parking, but that was for the municipal lot. And second was have staff look into the viability of Wilson Park as a possible park and ride. What else did we want to?
Well, I suggested 54 and Anderson Park. I'd be interested in some of this.
Okay.
Very good.
54 and Anderson. We'll look into the viability of 54 and Anderson Park. Is there anything else?
I think the final takeaway bullet would be something like, and then given what information we get, how do we communicate that to Triangle Transit and move forward?
Very important.
Okay. So
actually having something happen, huh? Crazy.
So That's the motion.
Okay. All right. Very good. Is there a second?
Second.
Then moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed. Matter passed unanimously. Thanks very much, Jeff.
Thank you. Thank you. Did you purposely choose a bus that has out of service on the front of it?
This is a Triangle Transit bus in Carrboro.
It's out of service.
A holiday
in
parade.
Out of service in Carrboro.
Isn't that great? Good choice.
Well, at least it doesn't have a Wells Fargo ad on it.
Oh, my God.
That brings us to a public hearing to obtain community input on town needs for the fiscal year 2012-13 budget. I have two people signed up. Braxton Fushi, if you would come on up and address the board.
Good evening, fellas. My issue does not have to do with service, but it does have to do with employment, and that's youth employment. And what I'd like to suggest to you is that you set aside somewhere in the neighborhood of $15,000 to $25,000 for youth employment during the summer. The only youth employment right now that I know of during the summer is Nate Davis does at Robinson Street Center, and that's probably 1 to 5 individuals. I'm going to do the same thing to Owasso. I'm going to let you know that, too. because nobody is creating any jobs for youth, and we have to try to have something for them for employment during the summer. And none of the business students are taking up most of the employment where youth would be normally employed at now. So and if you could find that 0.25% to open up that area for youth, I would appreciate it.
Thanks, Braxton. Jackie?
As the elder of the two social workers on the board, Michelle and I were just whispering, and we would like to meet with you to come up with a way of fleshing that program out and perhaps talking about other sources of funding we could find. We didn't go to social work school for nothing. We ought to be able to
be glad to
do it for the money.
Because we were that dumb. So if you would like the three of us to have a time to get together and start talking
all
about
right.
that.
Be glad to do that.
Okay. And we will hit up Owasso also.
Oh, I'll be available.
All right.
All right.
Thanks, Braxton.
All right. Thank you. Robert Dowling.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm Robert Dowling, Executive Director of Community Home Trust. I'm here tonight to thank the Board of Aldermen for the support you have provided to the Home Trust during my tenure with the organization and to ask you to continue that support. When I took this job in 1997, the land trust was nothing but a fuzzy concept, and inclusionary housing was something that they did in Maryland. And after a year-long effort by a local government task force, the land trust was incorporated in 1999, and we sold our first land trust house on Pleasant Drive, Carrboro, in June of 2000. In 2001, we sold our first inclusionary homes on Milton Avenue in Chapel Hill. By the end of 2003, we crossed over 50 homes in our inventory, and in early 2006, we hit 100 homes. Today, we have 194 homes in our inventory of affordable homes, only 22 of which are in Carrboro, but Carrboro is going to catch up real soon. We have 10 units under construction, and possibly by the end of June, the end of this fiscal year, that 22 could become 32. It'll be 32 soon. And then next year, in 2012-13, there's an additional 9 homes that will be built. So by the end of that fiscal year, the next fiscal year, we'll have 41 homes. That's if you approve something later on in March. I think you have a public hearing talking about some things at Ballantyne. If you don't approve it, we'll have more than that. Obviously, we could not have achieved any of this stuff without the support of local governments. And we've been supported by the Carver Board of Aldermen, Town Council, the County Commissioners, and the Hillsborough Town Board as well. Our budget in 2012-13 is $674,000, up 1% from the current year. We're going to ask you for the same amount of funding, $34,000, that we've been receiving for the past 4 years. We're projecting a small operating deficit next year of about $28,000, which we can fund out of our reserves. As you all know, I've talked to you over a number of years about challenges, long-term challenges we face with regard to long-term maintenance and affordability of our housing stock. Our income limits that we deal with today in 2012 are lower than they were in 2004. And it's hard to keep things, everything goes up, except the income limits we're dealing with, which have gone down. We have used federal monies to address these challenges, and those same federal monies are being cut. The home funds are cut 50% this year. And so as we go forward, I think all the local governments are going to be challenged to look at new strategies for finding funding for housing. And I think we can do that. And I know that with your support, we will continue to find answers to the problems and continue to be successful. So I want to thank you again for the support you have provided us and ask you to continue providing it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Robert.
Thank you for community home trust.
Robert, before you step down, if I can just ask you one follow-up question. I believe, I think that effectively this public hearing serves as a public hearing not only on our town budget but also on the home program budget. Mm-hmm. And understand the land trust is asking for some funds from the home program.
Yes.
And could you remind us about what you anticipate those home funds might go to accomplish in terms of housing affordability?
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Home funds are really our primary source of funding in Carver. And our primary project right now is Ballantyne. Ballantyne is underway up there, old 86. They probably sold half a dozen homes already. The pads are already in place for our first 8 townhomes. And we asked for and received home funds last year for these first 8. So these 8 are taken care of. There's supposed to be 17. There should be 9 more. We're going to come to you at a public hearing in March to ask that we reduce that 17 down to 15, and the town will hopefully get a payment in lieu from the developer. But we'll need home funding for those 7 that we hopefully will be doing early next year in 2013.
So the home application that y'all are planning on submitting is going to go to make the houses at the Ballantyne subdivision.
Right.
We'll kind of move them from hypothetical affordability to real affordability.
Right. We asked for the home fund request we made was for $150,000. 7 homes. Those homes require on average about $35,000. $35,000 times 7 is more than $150,000. But we have state monies as well that we hopefully will be able to apply to Ballantyne.
Okay, great. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
All right.
Anything else? Thank you. Really appreciate your support.
Thank you.
As you're leaving the podium, I'll say, Robert, we're really proud of the work that you and all the folks at the Land Trust do. Hopefully everybody on this board already is aware, but annually they have conferences where various land trust organizations from across the United States get together and talk about policy issues and considerations. And it has long since gotten to the point where people are looking at Orange County, North Carolina's land trust and looking to us as kind of a national leader defining how land trusts should work and what sort of long-term issues are, and your leadership and everybody else at the land trust Orange Community Home Trust really deserves a lot of credit for that. Yes.
Robert, when Mark said that and you were talking about imaginative ways to raise money, it made me think of one of your more imaginative ways, the annual showing of It's a Wonderful Life at the theater. And I think it'll be the third time up this December when you do it again, right? I mean, that's one of your more popular events. And I know it raises a little bit of money for you. So.
We need to do a summer event now on the lawn.
All right. That is all the folks I have signed up for this public hearing. Is there anybody else who wanted to speak on a matter relating to the town budget? Okay. Are there any further questions or comments from members of the board?
I just wanted to share with the board. I was hoping us to look at the fracking resolution tonight, but I think I'd rather us look at it next week. There's still some questions. Like Jackie wanted us to look at the Triangle J Council.
Triangle J is doing a lot with it.
Wow. Okay.
And Lydia has been helping me, so we've got some more to converse on that. And then hopefully people from the community can come out and have an opportunity to express their perceptions. Carrboro is probably likely to pass this resolution, but it would be a great, easy win for the movement that is working in the Triangle area to pass similar resolutions.
I would like us to explore in the resolution a line about not allowing the transport of these 528 unidentified chemicals through the town of Carrboro because of the danger that presents to our citizens. There are, I think it's 528 chemicals that are protected by, what's the word, Lydia? Proprietary.
Under one of the those acts.
Well, it came out of the energy meetings that Cheney had when he first took over the presidency. Mm. and in that was it the chemicals used in fracking, which are connected with Halliburton, cannot be identified under proprietary protection. So they can take those chemicals through our town and risk wrecks and spilling in our streets. And a town in Pennsylvania called Licking, Pennsylvania, where fracking is happening not too far from them, forbids the transport of these chemicals through the town. And several other small towns have as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And some of us remember not too long ago, that's almost 30 years, when the PCBs were dumped
in Warrington.
Off 87 near Pittsburgh.
Okay, so I will take that as a motion from Sammy and seconded by Jackie to formally put this matter on our printed agenda for next week and also to refer to the town attorney the question about prohibiting transporting some of those chemicals through our town. Does that sound right?
Yeah. All right. It's real easy to find the resolution that Licking passed. It's just Licking, Pennsylvania fracking resolution.
Okay.
How many of those can there be?
How many of those can there be? Probably more than one. Who knows?
Make sure you put Pennsylvania in because...
Yeah, otherwise...
If you Google right. just licking and fracking, there's no telling what you need to know. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed... Matter passes unanimously.
You made our attorney fall out.
It's not easy to do either.
All right.
Move it, go home and watch Sam.
Well, actually, we have a personnel matter we've got to discuss.
Personnel, it's a very short closed session, and I just wanted to sort of officially, I've heard from all of you by email, but officially have the board, if you so choose, endorse us or agree to have us join the other communities that are filing an amicus brief in the Arizona against the United States case that's before the U.S. Supreme Court that involves Arizona's constitution or a challenge on constitutional and preemption bases to the very restrictive immigration statute that was passed by Arizona.
And the essence of that is that we'll be joining with a lot of other local governments in the United States, but especially in Arizona, who are saying that it is not our desire, responsibility, or role to enforce federal immigration policy.
Our meaning that legislation required local governments, in essence, to enforce federal law, and in essence made federal law, or violation of federal law, a violation of state law, and required the local police departments to make determinations as to whether or not someone seems like they might or have reasonable cause to be suspicious about whether or not they're illegal immigrants. Mm. I presume that has nothing to do with racial profiling. Just based upon
not sure you're right about that, but okay.
Sound research, no doubt.
I'll move that motion.
A second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded that we join in the Arizona local government's amicus brief in Arizona versus the United States. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed. Matter passed unanimously. Thanks for bringing that to our attention, Mike. I know we're all very concerned about that issue.
Obviously. Well, most of the communities are somewhat larger than Carrboro, but I'm sure we'll tip the balance in favor of and we
do.
Expect that Justice Alito
no doubt
will be impressed.
No doubt will be the straw that supports the camel's back.
Other than that, we have a closed session for a personnel issue.
And I have
two or three minutes.
One matter of attorney-client privilege that I would like to bring up as well. So is there a motion to go into...
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that we go into closed session to discuss a personnel matter and a matter of attorney-client privilege.